Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 8, The Truth of the Matter. A chorus of pained groans greeted the day after Fangbreaker's reclamation. The courtyard was a mess, not just from the remains of the woven occupants, but also from the leftovers from all the partying. Empty barrels and mugs were scattered everywhere. More than a few ponies were still lying on the ground. Work still had to go on despite the mess. Laborers assembled scaffolding while waiting for the construction materials to be moved into the fort. Commander Dreadstep wanted Fangbreaker Fortress completely repaired before the spring offensive. Working through the winter was a tall order, but a lot of the ponies stationed at Fangbreaker were enthused. The harsh conditions could serve as an additional penance for even allowing the fort to reach such a state of disrepair. Though she had stayed up past midnight, Applejack was up with the dawn. It wasn't because she was needed for pressing matters, though. Until she received some kind of order from Vanguard or his higher-ups, she had to stay in his squad with her friends instead of going to infantry. For now, they didn't seem to have any other duties other than dealing with Nightmare Moon, leaving her with free time that she still had to fill up somehow. The rest of her friends were already preoccupied. Twilight had volunteered to sort out what was left of the fort's library and reshelve the books that the Legion had saved during its retreat. After Rarity's talk last night, Applejack felt that maybe she should talk to Twilight. However, when she tried to approach Twilight, something inside her shrank back. The information was too fresh. She was still so unsure about how much of Rarity's words were true. She needed some time to figure this out.
"You have a crush on him. You're in love with him. You want to push him to the ground and give him a kiss."
Applejack shook her head. "Rarity's overreacting like she always does," she told herself. "She's fussing over tiny details and making them out to be more serious than they really are. So what if I like being around Vanguard? Nothing wrong with enjoying a friend's company. And what's not to enjoy? He's brave, reliable, honest, kinda good-looking." She shook her head again. "Darn that Rarity, now I'm starting to doubt myself." She looked around to see if she could find any recognizable faces. Fluttershy had slept in the medical ward last night and got right back to work in the morning. There were plenty of injured ponies to keep her and the rest of medical busy. Rarity was sleeping off a headache. Rainbow had mentioned getting some target practice once she could aim straight. With nothing else to do, Applejack had gone over to the training grounds for Earth ponies. The place was still a mess, with the walls and floor covered in woven graffiti. Most of the debris had been cleared, however, and some pony had been considerate enough to set up a few target dummies. She looked down her chest, painfully remembering that the element of honesty had shattered just like the rest of the elements of harmony. She didn't know what caused the necklace to shatter, but she instinctively assumed that it was her fault. With the elation of reclaiming Fangbreaker and the celebrations now behind her, all the foreboding feelings began to crash down. Nightmare Moon was just one problem, and she wasn't even sure if they had dealt with her completely. More problems loomed ahead. She felt restless just sitting around waiting for some pony to tell her what to do. That was why she had come to the training grounds. She had brought the length of chain she had received from Croquill, the supposed chain of apple slice, on a whim. She had no idea what to do with the thing, but she figured that something that was passed down along generations of ponies just to be given to her had to be useful. Despite being metal, the chain was as light as rope, and its length made it easy to carry. However, its length also made it useless for anything but tying up something small.
"Hey there!"
Applejack had heard the soft-speaking tone somewhere before, but she couldn't place it. She turned around and saw a dark blue unicorn whose purple mane came down in elaborate ringlets. A few more seconds passed before she found the name that went with this pony's features.
"Captain Nightcanter," she said with a salute.
"So formal,"
Nightcanter remarked, her crooked smile widening slightly.
"No need to stand on ceremony there, Legionnaire. By the way, you're that mare that Vanguard was dancing with last night, aren't you? He mentioned your name before. What was it? Applejack?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"I've never seen Vanguard dance before, and I've done my share of trying to get him to,"
Night Cantor leaned forward and nudged Applejack slyly.
So what happened after that?
Did you start rolling your oats once you got somewhere private?
Rolling my oats? Applejack asked. No, ma'am. I'm more of an apple farmer. Don't know much about working with oats. I do have an uncle who tried his hoof in the oat business once.
Her tone turned grim for a moment.
The oat family didn't take too kindly to that.
The smile on Night Cantor's face lessened.
I meant, did you do some horizontal dancing?
No, we just stuck to snake dodge. That was pretty hard too. Not as hard as horizontal dancing, I reckon. How do you even do that?
Night Cantor stared at Applejack incredulously and then shook her head.
Never mind, she muttered. I'll just assume that you didn't do what I thought you might have done.
More ponies began to enter the training grounds. Some of them worked in cleaning up the place while the others started exercising. Night Cantor focused on the chain coiled around Applejack's neck.
So what do you have there? She asked.
Not planning to strangle ourselves, are we?
No, Applejack replied. This here's chain supposed to have belonged to Apple Slice, but I don't know what to do with it.
Night Cantor's eyes widened.
Apple Slice? She asked. As in the last great apple, Apple Slice?
There's a title again. There are a lot of great apples out there, not just whoever this pony is. Why is there?
Night Cantor put a hoof up.
You can list off 100 of your chosen apples, Applejack. They might be great, but not in the same way Apple Slice was. May I have a look at that chain?
Reluctantly, Applejack handed the length of chain to Night Cantor, who inspected it with a spell.
Obviously magical, she said. How'd you get this?
Applejack narrated her encounter with Crowkrill while Night Cantor listened intently. She felt a little embarrassed having some pony focus on her so much as if she was something special.
You should be honored, Night Cantor said. An enchanted weapon requires powerful magic.
Magic, huh? Applejack said. Twilight mentions that. I'm sure the unicorns here have a lot of those stashed away.
Not really. Some transmuters and conjurers can make temporary ones, but an enchantment to last through centuries. A unicorn died to make this, Applejack. Probably several.
A frown creased Night Cantor's face, but she quickly replaced it with a smile.
Anyway, there are a lot of stories about Apple Slice bringing down Ursins by lassoing them, she said. Have you given that a try?
Well, so on, Applejack asked. Just look at how short it is. Sure, I could lasso things with it, if those things were a spitting distance away.
That's your earth poniness talking.
My what?
Your earth poniness, that stubborn, no-nonsense tendency of yours not to trust anything that you can't get a feel of with your senses. This is a magical object, an artifact even. You have to trust in its magic, not in what it looks or feels like.
I've never used magic before, Applejack said. I'm no unicorn. Guess I'm better off giving this to Twilight a rarity.
Night Cantor's horn was still glowing as she stretched out the chain.
Then you'd be handing them junk, she said. The enchantments here are pretty specific. There aren't any stories about ponies in the barrier lands wielding a magic chain after Apple Slice. You'd think some pony would have taken up some magical equipment, but no. One explanation I'd consider is that it doesn't work for just any pony. If you really are related to him in some way, you're the best candidate.
Applejack looked at the chain with even more distrust. For a moment, she didn't want to have anything to do with the chain, now that she knew that some unicorns died to make it. She thought about it, then decided that it would be more disrespectful to throw it away. After all, they had sacrificed a lot to create this thing, and made sure that only her family could use it.
Just give it a try, Night Cantor said.
Okay.
Applejack tied the chain into a lasso. Despite being made of metal links, the chain proved easy to work into knots. She gave the thing whirl, still surprised by how easy it was to wield it. Night Cantor pointed her to a distant, unoccupied practice dummy. With a shrug, she tossed the lasso, expecting the chain to jerk once it reached its very short maximum distance. The links stretched out and kept flying. Applejack nearly dropped the chain as she watched the looped end reach the target and land on point. Reflexively, she gave the chain a tug once it landed to tighten the loop. The target dummy snapped near its base and clattered on the ground. Night Cantor walked forward and examined the extended chain.
Force,
she said with awe. The other ponies had noticed now and were moving in to see the strange weapon.
Applejack chuckled nervously at the increasing attention. "Sorry about the target," she said. "I didn't mean to. I swear, I just gave it a good talk."
"Did you really?" Ned Kanter asked. "It boosts its builder's strength, too. Probably important, seeing as trying to lasso, say, a rampaging urson would be impossible without such an enchantment."
The murmurs among the crowd flustered Applejack further. She pulled back the chain and wanted to put it away when the links suddenly clicked together, even going so far as undoing the loop. In an instant, she was holding a simple, short length of chain again.
"You lucky pony," Night Kanter said. "To wield the weapon of the legendary apple slice. I'd cut off a leg for that honor."
A loud, mocking snort came from the gathered ponies around them. Night Kanter frowned and then looked over to them.
"Who did that?"
she asked.
"I did."
An orange Pegasus stallion with a cropped, bright green mane stepped forward. Applejack noticed a sparring which was similar to the one Flight Captain Tailwind wore, including the sterilized wing.
"I heard what you were gushing about. Legendary apple slice my flank. That stallion was a glorified murderer who dragged his ponies with him to a massacre."
"Hi," Applejack said. "Don't you badmouth my family like that."
"You've only stayed in this place for a short time," the Pegasus said. "It only makes sense that you have no grasp of our history."
He shifted his gaze back to Night Kanter.
"I'm surprised that a special operations captain is feeding a legionnaire the same sugar-coated tripe that they tell Ospony foals before bedtime."
"And I'm surprised that a flight captain thinks I won't strangle him with his own tail just for that snort," Night Kanter hissed. "You better stay out of dark alleys, Sunray."
"You should hear the truth if you really are related in some way to Apple Slice," Sunray told Applejack. "He's no hero. During the division process, Princess Celestia chose the Apple family to settle in the Heartland. That same family cast Apple Slice out because he was a budding violent psychopath. He worked his way up the Legion's ranks by being a ruthless murderer until he snapped, led his ponies against a horde of Orphidites, and got massacred. It was such an embarrassment that the Legion whitewashed the event as a heroic last stand."
He looked at the chain with disgust.
"I can only imagine how many creatures he strangled to death with that thing."
"Celestia, drill my backside," Night Kanter said. "You're one of those conspiracy nags. Don't listen to this idiot, Applejack. He's a damn chosen apologist who thinks apple slice must be garbage because his high and mighty clan tossed him out."
The two ponies sized each other up while the crowd continued to watch. Now, most of them were more for seeing what would happen between the two quarreling captains than checking out the mysterious chain.
"That's enough quibbling,"
another pony from the crowd said. It was a unicorn stallion this time, a bright blue one with a long, curly white mane.
"You're both wrong anyway," he said. "Apple Slice couldn't have possibly been a hero or a psychopath. He'd have to exist to be either."
Night Kanter rolled her eyes. "Here we go," she said. "Another Earth Ponies Are Useless lecture from Mage Captain Drizzlecloud.
I hate to disappoint you, but Apple Slice is not real,"
Drizzlecloud said to Applejack.
"He's a myth created by the Legion to inspire Earth Ponies during that time. Prior to the Legion of Apple Slice, Earth Ponies had no heroes to look up to. Pegasi had Windrunner and Ashfrost, while Unicorns had Afterthought and Moonrage. To keep infantry recruitment going strong, the Legion invented Apple Slice, the noble farmer turned hero who gallantly refused to join his family in the Heartland to continue protecting Equestria. A few centuries later, when the Earth Ponies finally had actual heroes, some Pegasi started spreading stories about how Apple Slice was actually a monster, likely because they felt that the Earth Ponies were getting too proud."
"Of course the Unicorns had a clear conscience in the entire affair," Sunray muttered. "They always do in Drizzlecloud's historical facts."
Drizzlecloud turned his nose up.
"Don't blame me, blame the truth."
"Hold on for one pony pecking minute here,"
Applejack said. Despite being faced by captains, she wasn't going to sit there while they threw one story after another about some pony who might be family.
"The Queen told me that Appleslice fell valiantly in battle during his last stand."
The three stopped and looked at Applejack.
"The Queen?" Drizzlecloud asked. "The Queen, as in our Princess Mother and one of the Eternal Heart's great rulers?"
"Yes, that Queen," Applejack said.
"I believe her," Night Kanter added. I heard it from Vanguard Clash. The Queen spoke to our prince through this one.
Then I will not doubt that the Queen did speak to you, Drizzlecloud replied. As to what she actually told you, that I can throw some doubts on.
What do you mean? Applejack asked.
Rather convenient to say that the Queen told you that, now that Appleslice's story is the topic of the conversation.
Are you calling me a liar?
Applejack stepped towards Drizzlecloud.
I order.
You can roast me over a slow fire if you want, Drizzlecloud said. It doesn't make you more truthful in any pony's eyes. You're better off showing proof.
Applejack fell silent. There was no proof. To be doubted like this was painful, irritating, and humiliating. She wanted to lash out, but Drizzlecloud was right. Hurting any pony would prove nothing.
And I suppose you have proof, Drizzlecloud, Knight Canter asked.
I can show you documents if you want, Drizzlecloud replied. I happen to have done some research into this personally.
And I've got some books about the subject back in Bastion City, Sunray said.
No doubt written by Pegasi, Drizzlecloud retorted.
Before any pony else could say something, a sudden blast from a horn sent them scrambling. The training grounds cleared in less than a minute.
What's going on? Applejack asked. What was that horn blowing for?
The prince is arriving, Knight Canter said.
She didn't panic like the others, but she did show some surprise.
It's to be expected, though. Don't know why every pony's in a panic.
Captain Knight Canter?
Yes.
Thank you kindly for helping me out with this thing.
Knight Canter smiled in return. No problem, Applejack. If you and Vanguard do start doing it and need some company, give me an invite. I really want to see him cut loose. The smile widened. You don't look so bad yourself.
Applejack didn't know if she should smile back or be afraid.
You better get back to your squad. I'm willing to bet that our prince is going to want to see all of you.
Knight Canter walked off. Applejack coiled the chain around her neck and made her way back to the shared quarters. Tirado had arrived by teleportation, appearing within the audience hall to the shock of the workers still there. He had not come alone either. With him were Commander Dreadstep and Celestia. Whispers quickly went rampant throughout the fortress, especially when the sun symbol on his sister's flank was noticed. The word was out. Celestia was in Fangbreaker Fortress. Rumors were already abounding in Bastion City, and they only grew in number here. Most of the morning was spent on inspection. Tirado surveyed this newly acquired fortress with a sense of pride for his legionnaires and grim speculation. Most of the rubble had been cleared. If he was going to use this place as a launching point for his invasion, expansions would probably have to take place. By noon, he was sitting by the audience hall, receiving reports with Dreadstep and Celestia. His eldest sister had been silent ever since she spent a day in Bastion City as an Earth Pony. The glumness on her face made his heart ache, but when he tried to ask her about what happened, she had not answered with anything. He had called for the Elements of Harmony. Perhaps the sight of her beloved student would put some cheer in her. Then he had an execution to attend. He thought it best to do that without her at his side. When the Elements of Harmony did walk in, however, he realized that they might end up doing the opposite of what he wanted of them. It didn't take long for Celestia to notice as well. Her eyes widened and she leaned forward out of concern. Before she could say anything, Tirado spoke first.
You're looking significantly less gaudy than when we last had a meeting, he said. Are my ethics starting to rub off on you, or is there something you'd like to tell me?
It was Twilight Sparkle who stepped forward. She kept her head low when she spoke.
Your Highness, the Elements of Harmony, well, they shattered.
Twilight,
Celestia went to her students' group. All of them gathered around her, seeking comfort. Tirado let them stay that way for some time, while Dreadstep looked to him nervously. The old stallion knew the signs of his prince's growing impatience.
That's enough feeling sorry for yourselves,
Tirado said. He looked to his sister.
Stop coddling them, Celestia. Harmonia enters.
Applejack's eyes widened.
Hi, I recognize that. The Queen said it to me before.
Celestia shot a disapproving look at Tirado before addressing Applejack.
Harmony comes from within, she said. Don't be sad, girls. It's true that the loss of the physical elements is a terrible thing, but all is not lost.
What do you mean, Your Highness?
Twilight asked. True harmony does not rely on metal and stone, Celestia said with a smile. The jewelry you held served as focuses to channel the power of harmony. Without them it will be difficult to call forth the power of the elements, but not impossible. Twilight Sparkle's face brightened.
How do we do that? She asked.
Tell me first as how they came to shatter, Celestia replied. Twilight narrated their last encounter with Nightmare Moon. Her friends added their experience after she had disappeared. Celestia fell silent when Twilight mentioned the voices she heard when she was transported into the middle of nowhere. Torado also fell into a frowning contemplation. From what you've told me, I can only guess that you and your friends were not in harmony when you tried to use the elements, Celestia said. The devices sensed your great need and activated anyway, but the strain of doing so was too much.
So we broke the elements, Twilight said.
Celestia shook her head.
No, Twilight, you broke the devices. Whatever has come between you and your friends must be dealt with, and then...
She hesitated.
It is difficult to explain. You must simply remember that harmony has personal as well as social aspects. You must grow in both.
The depressed, self-pitying look on Twilight Sparkle disappeared.
We will, Princess.
She looked to her friends, who nodded in return. Torado noticed that both Rarity and Applejack were doing so with less enthusiasm.
I have full faith in you, Twilight Sparkle. One more thing.
Celestia leaned forward to whisper to her student. Curious, Torado listened in.
Later, I would like to talk to you about this Pyre Valor.
Twilight nodded with less enthusiasm, and Celestia walked back to her place next to her brother.
Good that you have that settled, he said. With Nightmare Moon gone, there won't be much of a need for you to remain a squad. I want you to return to your previous positions and concentrate on your training.
Torado, perhaps you should let them see their families first, Celestia said. They were forced to leave their home so abruptly.
Torado paused, then returned his gaze to Twilight and the others.
Would you like that? He asked. Would you like to see your families?
That would be lovely,
Rarity said. The others nodded vigorously.
Go then. I'll give you a couple of weeks. While you're there, I want you to help facilitate the drafts. Having fellow chosen tell them the importance of what needs to be done should move your neighbors along. You are dismissed.
Twilight bowed along with her friends before leaving the audience hall. Once they were gone, Celestia turned towards Torado.
Lunalux Umbra and Solaris Coruscoria, she whispered. The handmaidens of Oceanus. Is he on the verge of returning?
He's one rebellion short, Torado replied. I had thought that all the betrayers had fallen into dormancy. I don't know how those two stayed up, but we'll deal with them when the time comes. Hopefully with you back in full power.
A knock on the doors of the audience hall drew both their attentions. A legionnaire entered soon after and bowed low.
Your Highness, we have a pony here who teleported into the fortress asking for an audience with you.
You sound pretty shaken, Legionnaire,
Torado said.
Something else I should know?
Yes, Your Highness. He said that his name was Blue Moon, leader of the Thorns, and it was imperative that he see you at once.
Torado's frown deepened.
Bring him in,
he said.
Torado, who is this pony? Celestia asked.
Blue Moon is Black Rose's younger brother,
Torado said.
The Thorns served as her special tasks group. They should also be dead, but the fact that they aren't shouldn't come as a surprise when dealing with her.
Torado felt his sister tense. Black Rose, the pony who had brazenly stolen her power during that fateful day. It had been some time since he last heard of the newly formed Alicorn. He looked towards the doors and watched as a unicorn stallion flanked by a pair of guards walked through them. Blue Moon was so slender and delicately featured that it was easy to mistake him for a mare. He had a flowing, silvery blue mane, and his coat was a very pale blue. He wore an elaborate soft-closed coat, partly armored around the neck and shoulders with gracefully curved plates of metal. On his collar was the emblem of a black, five-petaled rose, with six thorns protruding symmetrically around it.
Blue Moon, Torado said. Your sister has been quite a headache lately.
He unleashed his magic as he spoke, looking to break down any magical defenses around Blue Moon before trapping the stallion in a cage of diamond. To his surprise, he found none. He delayed the caging spell for now.
I assume the rest of the sons are up and about as well? He asked.
Blue Moon knelt with his head held low.
Lioncourt, Longstride, and Sablesteel have all been given their assignments, Your Highness, he replied. Rhapsody failed to revive, but Black Rose still has Warsinger and only needs some pony skilled enough to play it. Frenzyheart also failed to revive and will have to be replaced completely. That's unusually informative,
Tirado said.
What are you up to, Blue Moon? Your Highness, I am here to warn you of my sister's plans.
Okay, every pony, my comment time in this chapter will focus on a pony that I think is very interesting. It's one of the OCs in this story. Who do I mean? I mean Night Canter, of course. We do know that she is, well, like a cat. She likes to play with her prey. And she is, well, she's not entirely horrible. She's actually very nice, if you think about it, in her own way. I mean, she did a sparring match with Twilight to show the other seniors that Twilight actually is powerful and is not just showing off, but that she can still be defeated by a special operations captain because all she lacks is experience. She helps Applejack with Apple Slice's chain. And here is something I would like you to answer, because I still am not too sure what would have happened. Do you really think Night Canter, if pressed, would have fought with one of her fellow captains over an argument like that with that snort when she said, and I am surprised that a flight captain thinks I wouldn't strangle him with his own tail just for the snort? She has quite a temper, and I would like to hear your opinion on it, because I think she's pretty cool. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.